morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Let's try that again. How are you guys doing? There you go. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. Thank you guys so much for being here today. It was a great, it's been a great morning so far. It's going to get even greater. I love hearing testimonies about how God is changing people's lives. Somebody say amen to that. Guys, we're going to be in 1 Peter today. So after the offering basket things pass around, if you could open up your Bible, your book Bible, or if you've got a cell phone, you can open it up and punch on a Bible app. We're going to be in 1 Peter, a few scripture for you today. We're continuing a series called I Love My Church. Everybody say, I love my church. We have been going through this over the last couple of weeks, and we're in week 3 of it. And if you did not know, there's a little card that looks like this. We have these things called community groups that meet throughout the week. And on the back of it, it tells you where they are, when they meet. And what we've been doing through our community groups is really diving into this whole topic of I love my church. And after on Sundays, we actually break it down and learn how we can apply it into our life. It's a great way if you don't know people, you don't feel connected, to join in a community group. All you have to do is fill that in and you can give it to one of the ushers on your way out today. But we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to read verse 10 and we're going to pray and kind of dive into the word today. First, it says in verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, Father, we thank you today for your word. We pray that we would definitely recognize the gifts, receive the gifts, be the gifts, and give the gifts that you have in store for us. And as your word says, we would become faithful stewards of your grace in all of its various forms today. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we've been in this new series, and actually my wife and I, we missed last week church. I hate missing church. Even the day we got married, that Sunday, I was wanting to go to church. My wife was like, you don't have to go to church. It's okay. You can skip that week. And we, one of the greatest gifts that a husband can give a wife that has 5 children, I gave my wife, was time away from those 5 children. And so we went to the Rockies of the East. We went to the Smoky Mountains and had a great time. And you know what's interesting is as much as I would love to give my wife or anybody would love to give anybody a great gift, God really gives the best gifts, doesn't he? You know, I'm thinking about that even as we're worshiping today. You really can't outdo God when it comes to giving gifts. Now you think about John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave us Jesus. That pretty much trumps everything you could possibly do on this planet. You can't give Jesus. Jesus, God gave him himself to us. And what's amazing about that is that the gift of Christ and what he did, Pastor Lance said it so eloquently, how he died on the cross and now the penalty of sin has been done away with and we have been forgiven. Really, the gift of receiving Jesus Christ sparked a chain of events, a chain reaction. And I just want you to follow this for a sec, but we receive Jesus as a gift. And what happens is we then become a gift to the world and to our families, but today more specifically to the local church. And then we are called to give. This is where we're going today. Just wanted to let you know, Pastor Brock said last week that in a lot of ways when we meet Jesus, he changes us, and we're going to talk about some of that change today. He makes us into a generous people. He makes us into a generous people. And we believe today that if you are here at Bethel, this is where God has planted you to grow in your faith, and you are a gift to the local church. Could somebody say amen to that? You know, almost 15 years ago, it was August the 10th, 2005, I was in a church service exactly like this. Pastor Ron was preaching a message about the love of God the Father, a father's kind of love that I had never known. And I received this message and I took it into my heart. And I believe that what Jesus did on the cross was for me. And I received Jesus as a gift, and it began a chain reaction in my own life. See, Jesus doesn't want us to just receive him and then just go in a cave and wait and die. And he doesn't want us to just sit around and wait for him to return. But he's got stuff for us to do. Look at your neighbor and say, he's got stuff he wants you to do. See, when we receive Jesus, he begins to change us. Many of you have probably felt this before, and sometimes it doesn't feel very comfortable. Sometimes the changes are very gradual and slow, and sometimes they're immediate. Like I remember right after the day I gave my life to Christ, went home and threw away all my Tupac and Biggie. I didn't know why. Nobody said or mentioned Tupac and Biggie in church. I don't even think you're supposed to do that in church. I just knew it wasn't right. And for whatever reason, all that the God was doing inside of me didn't settle well with Tupac and Biggie. I went home, got a trash bag, and began to throw things away. That process can be, like I said, slow or very rapid. It's called sanctification. And it's when the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of you and he begins to purify your motives and your desires and your passions by the Holy Spirit. And one of the cool things that he also does is he doesn't want us to just be left alone. He brings us to a people. He brings us to a local church. We call us a spiritual family. When you give your life to Christ, you are now part of God's family. That means the people that are around you, if they're serving God, if they believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, they're now your brothers and sisters. The Bible talks about, look at the older women as mothers. Look at the younger women as sisters, and younger men as brothers. And we are now part of a spiritual family. And now the cool thing about this is even though we used to live for ourselves, anybody know anybody that lives for themselves? Y'all wouldn't do that, would you? Now we live for him. It's a difference. That means that all of our talents, our education, some of you got more degrees than a thermometer. All of your skills, your training, your background, your intelligence, your dreams, your passions, and even your family now are all part of the gift that God gives to the local church through you. You may not have ever noticed or thought about this before. You are a gift to the local church. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a gift. Look at your other neighbor and say, I'm a gift. A lot of times we don't think about that. Sometimes we look at church as maybe like a spectator sport, like we're watching the NBA dunk competition last night. Like, wow, what's Pastor Lance going to do today? And sometimes we sing songs together, and there's a power in being together. There's a power in being together. The Bible says where two or more gather together, he is here. That means whether you feel like you sense him or you feel him, he has already told you. Because we're worshiping Jesus, he is here. We serve a risen God, a risen Savior, and he's here. And you are a gift to the local church that you are in right now. Contrary to popular belief, it's not about just being happy and making your life easier. He's bringing this all together. Think about this for a second. When we are a gift to a local church, think about this. When we attend a community group, we are being a gift to the local church. That means because somebody's going through some stuff that you may have went through before. All and each and every one of us has a story. We've seen some stuff. We've been through some things. And praise God, through the grace of God, some of us have come out of those things victorious. We've seen the other side. We're like MLK. By the way, Pastor Lance, happy Black History Month to you. We've looked out on the mountain and seen the other side, and we've seen God's hand in action, and we can thank him and praise him and clap for him because we know he's been good even when things were not so good. And somebody needs to hear that story. And when you show up for something like a community group, you are a gift to those people. You are a gift to the local church. Did you know when you serve in Go Kids, You are being a gift to the local church. It's because in that building back there, the gospel is being shared probably for the very first time. And I can tell you what, I wish somebody would have preached the gospel to me when I was that age. Anybody say amen to that? It would have saved me from all kinds of mess. You know what also is part of that gift? When you serve with kids in the back or in any location here in our local church, you free up the availability for people to come and sit in a service without distraction. Because they know their kids are being well taken care of. They don't have to worry about them. Because they know that ministry is taking place for them, but it gives them the opportunity to receive ministry undistracted so God can begin to do a work in them as well. Do you know we are a gift to the local church when we pray for people? You would think something so simple may not be a gift, but it is. How many of you in this room have ever needed prayer? I can tell you there was a time almost 3 years ago, I had a heart attack. Was in the hospital, ICU. I was in the hospital for about a week. I needed people to pray for me. Maybe your marriage is in a hot mess. Your finances look funny right now. You need somebody to pray. And sometimes the weight of life can be so heavy, you don't even feel like praying for yourself. It's just like you've been in it for so long, you just get weary. And you just need people to come along beside you and just pray for me. And it's like a breath of fresh air. It's refreshing when God's people do that. And you are a gift to this local church by you just praying for somebody. You know when else you're being a gift to the local church? When you encourage somebody. Everybody in this room needs encouragement from time to time. This world wants to suck encouragement out of you. When you go to work and you got to deal with those people, they don't care. They just want to make sure that things get done, or maybe they don't care about that, but it sucks the life out of you. When you're driving down Wilma Rudolph, some of us need some encouragement to get through that thing. Did you know that you are being a gift to the local church just when you use your education, your talents, and your skills? There's a man at this church, and we put a call out on our men's community group page. Anybody know how to fix things with electricity? He said, I'll do it. You know, we had an air hockey table in our Go Kids building, and he went back there on Saturday, and he fixed this thing because he had a skill. And because he had a skill that he didn't sit on, it blessed that ministry. It blessed, and those kids go ballistic over air hockey. I just wanted you to know, whether you're a real estate agent, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a doctor or a banker or a lawyer, a business person, you have a skill set. You have a background and education that is vital to the local church. And if you sit on that thing, it is not being utilized by God in a great way. You can do it out there. That's great. And you can be blessed and make lots of money, but it is needed desperately inside the local church. A lot of people just feel like, I don't know how to utilize the skill set out there in here. Come and ask somebody. See, as a believer, we should be saying a couple of things. What can I do? What can I give? I don't know if you remember, there's a man who got transcended up into heaven and they were worshiping God. And he said, who will go for us? They said, who will go for us? He said, here I am, send me. What if we had a heart as a local church that says, here I am, God, here's my talents, here's my resources. Do whatever you want to do so you can get glory. I can guarantee you one thing. If every one of us did that, this entire city would change. There's a famous man who said, give me 100 men who want only to love God and to please Him. I can change the city. I believe that. What about a church? One church using its gifts, its talents collectively. It could change the entire city. Do you believe that? Some of you wonder, I don't know. Yeah. Imagine that just for a second. When you invite people into your home, you are being a gift to the local church. Hardly anyone is originally from Clarksville, Tennessee in this room. Hardly. Might be one or two of you in here. That means that we're all from somewhere else. That means we're from other cities, other states, other countries. And you know what? It feels lonely sometimes. You can be in this room and feel isolated, but when you invite somebody in your home, you are being a gift to this local church. You're making them feel family, what God actually called us to be. And some of you are in here and you might be saying, I don't really know what my gift is. You know, last night I was talking to my daughter, one of my daughters. I always asked, Daddy, what are you going to preach about? And I told her what I was talking about. And she was so sincere, so sweet. She said, Daddy, I don't know what my gift is. Maybe you're here too and you're saying that. I don't really know how to use or exercise my gifts. And so I did what any good pastor would do. I brought out a spiritual gifts test. Here you go. She's like, all right. So she starts taking the spiritual gift test, and the amazing thing took place. Her top gift was administration. I started to explain to her what that looks like, and she got so happy. She got so happy because she realized, God can use me in this. I'm good at something. I have a talent. I have a skill that I can use. What if we all had that kind of desire? What if we all said, this is what I can do, God. Use it. We have this funny way as humans, when we do stuff we're good at, it makes us happy. So here's my advice to you. Do something you're good at inside the local church, you'll be happy. It's kind of simple, isn't it, Doc? It's interesting. You know, I want to read a couple of scripture to you. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. We read it in the very beginning. I want to read the full context of it. This is about being a gift. Again, you being here, you serving Jesus, you have become a gift. It says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Did you know it brings God glory when you be the gift? Look at your neighbor and say, be the gift. Let me get that shirts to say, be the gift. If you just be the gift that God made in you, we would see this church, this city transform like you cannot believe. You know, in addition to receiving the gift, which is Jesus, and becoming the gift, what Christ has made us to be to the local church, he's also called us to give gifts as well. It's one thing to be the gift. It's another thing to give gifts. God is creating in his people a generous people. And why do you think God wants us to be generous? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's because he's generous. It's because he is. And he was working that in us. And there is a blessing when we give. There is a tremendous blessing when we give. When we give financially to support what God is doing, we bring our finances and to the local church for God, it is a blessing to us in more ways than you can count. And there is so much Bible that says we should do this, and there's also a couple of verses I want to read that talks about a warning when we don't. God doesn't like it when we dam up the flow of blessings. There's something he's trying to do to us, to work in us. And it's like he wants to do it, but we can force his hand backwards and not allow us to do it. Maybe you've done that before. You felt like God wanted you to do something, and he's like, I can't do that, God. It's like, I don't know. It's like in your spirit, you get indigestion. It's like you ate some old Taco Bell or something. It just doesn't set right. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is what happens when we dam up the flow of the blessing that God wants it to be by giving. He says, command those who are rich. Everybody say rich. In this present world, not to be arrogant, nor put their hope in wealth. Now, you might be saying, well, I got a pastor. I'm not rich, pastor. Well, did you know if you make over $32,000 a year, you are in the top 1% of the world? You laugh. That's all I got. You are in the top. I've been places where the average yearly income is $800. Here in the United States, if you are making over $32,000 a year, you're in the top 1% of the world. That means you might be on government assistance, you might be counting nickels and pennies. You're rich! You were rich. Thank God. God bless America. And he says here, do not be arrogant and put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and there's our word, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. It's like the Word of God is trying to tell us something here. It is better, much more to give than to receive. James chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 says this. Now listen, you rich people. We've already established that. Y'all are rich. See it? He says, you're rich. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. This is for the people who hoard their wealth. Your wealth has rotted and moth have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You who have hoarded wealth in the last days. Now, financial advisors will tell you that's exactly what you're supposed to do. Hoard as much as you can because you're going to need it when you get older. That's what they tell us. This is not what God's word says. It says, look, the wages you failed to pay, the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. Wait, it gets worse. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. It's amazing what God's word is so clear. He wants to do something. He wants to transform you. Remember Transformers? More than meets the eye. He wants to do a work in you that changes fundamentally your motives, your passions. And we are an active participant in what God is doing. We can say yes to God or we can say no to Him. Here at Bethel, we do believe in giving. We believe in giving 10%. We believe in giving offerings. We believe that because God's word is very clear and He's trying to work something out in us. You know, and just to share with you a reason why I believe God calls us to give. Last Christmas, I'm known in my house as the one that's hard to buy presents for. Nobody likes to buy me a present because they say they don't know what to get me. And so I did what any good man would do, didn't I, sweetie? I went out and bought my own gift. And then as a benevolent, loving dad, I gave it to them to give it to me for Christmas. And of course, I bought a pellet grill. Ha ha! Not a new one, but it was new to me. And you know what's funny about that? God works the exact same way. He gives it all to us. 100% of what you bring in, God has given it to you. Maybe you don't think it's from God. He says all good things come from above. And there's biblical precedent, Old Testament, New Testament, in the law, out of the law, before the law, after the law. He says, give 10% to my house. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. You know, there's this legal term called power of attorney. About 5 years ago, my dad had a massive stroke. Left him paralyzed on half his body and he can't talk, and I became his durable power of attorney. I make all medical decisions and all financial decisions for him. And this little piece of paper called a power of attorney gives me the right to do anything anything in his name that has to do with his estate, I'm basically doing it on his behalf. The big thing is I have to be fiduciary, or I have to be a fiduciary. It means I have to be financially responsible to do it only in his interest. Only in his interest must I be able to utilize his name and the resources that I now have entrusted to me. God does the same thing. He has entrusted to you. It's not yours. You are a steward. See, this word steward means somebody gave you some stuff, and now you have to manage the stuff with their interest in mind. I want to bring a friend of mine up. His name is Chris. Chris is a buddy of mine. I've known Chris for about 5 years. Him and his wife, Chelsea, have been here, and they got PCS to Alaska, and they've been back now for a few months. Come on up, Chris. Give Chris a big hand. Champ, I need the... Champ, quit tweeting.
It's good? There we go. Hey, good morning, Bethel. So this right here is a perfect image of contentment because Pastor Richard promised me one of those cool boy band microphones last service, and I didn't get that, obviously. So anyway, I'm Chris. It was about 4 years ago, and I was sitting over there on the side, and I was eating popcorn, and we were watching a Robert Morris sermon that was being hosted here at Bethel. And that was the moment that my heart was completely changed on the subject of tithing. But to rewind that a little bit, I got to tell you, I was a Christian and a regular churchgoer, or so I thought. I came here every Sunday. That's what I think is a regular churchgoer. And I thought the idea of tithing was absolutely crazy. I mean, why would I give my money that I earned to somebody else? During a deployment, I actually had a buddy tell me that he couldn't afford not to tithe. And I didn't get that. I didn't understand how he's saying that he couldn't afford not to give his money away. In my head, it made sense. If you keep your money, you can afford that. So, you know, this was also something that my wife brought up to me, tithing. But I didn't see how we could squeeze that out of our budget and still make ends meet on the back end. As my wife continued to pray for me, God began to show me that my finances were directly related to the heart change that he was performing in me. So back to Pastor Robert Morris in the sermon that we were watching. During his service, he said something along the lines of, would I go out to a restaurant without paying for the meal? You know, church being the restaurant, God's word being the meal. That hit me extremely hard. I don't know how it hits you right now, but it hit me hard. Even more than God's word, I was consuming so much here at church. I mean, think of all the ways that we're blessed by our local church. I was attending small groups Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, men's group on Saturday. I was coming back for both services on Sunday because sometimes they switch it up. It's pretty cool. But I was double dipping. I was triple dipping. I was getting as much as I could from God through the church, all for personal growth, and I wasn't giving anything back. In the beginning, I admit, I had tons of fears, especially about bills. How is that bill going to get paid if that money's now going to tithing? But God showed me that he always provides. Tithing has not only allowed me to have more of a giving heart to others, but it has grown and strengthened my faith with my relationship with Jesus in a whole new way on a whole new level. It's not about the money. It's about my heart. If God can bless me, if God can heal me, if God can save me, and if God can save my marriage, surely he is worth my tithe. Like Pastor Richard said today, we're called to give just as we've been given the greatest gift, and that's Jesus. Overall, I trust God with my finances, but I know that when I give here generously at Bethel, when I give faithfully, it's being used to reach the city of Clarksville. It's used to reach the soldiers and families of Fort Campbell. It's used to reach the students of Austin Peay, and so many other local organizations and real people just like you and me here locally. Not to mention how many other nations around the world. This is an every nation church, correct? Yeah. How many nations are we reaching around the world? Yeah. That's just one of the reasons why I love my church. And this is all to build the kingdom of God and to show the love of Jesus. So there's a picture my wife showed me. There it is a couple years ago. I never seen this. You may have seen it. It's probably popular. I don't know. But Jesus is holding a huge teddy bear behind his back, as you can see, and he's reaching out to a little girl with a little teddy bear. And that hit me hard with tithing. If we would just let go of our fear and our doubt and reach out in faith, we can learn that God has so much in store for us. We just have to trust him. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you, man. So good. You know, guys, I just want to pray for you, if it was just for a moment. If you could, just bow your heads for a moment. You know, Lord, we are so thankful for your word, the clarity, the power of your word to transform us. Thank you for Chris and for so many others in this room, God, how you are showing us. Maybe today's the day where you'd say, I want to receive that gift. That chain reaction that I need in my life to change, it starts with Jesus. Lord, we thank you today, God, that you are not too, your arms are not